Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. 5 stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
You guys, before we get to the show, hi.
Hi.
Welcome. You guys, we want to just let you know, over on our Patreon feed, we have a brand new interview with Queen Rabia. We talk all about how this documentary series came to be.
Right.
She gives us her hot take on Jen Pusateri, on Debbie, on
Dawn.
On Dawn and Debbie?
I know.
I can't even. You guys, we also have a full interview with Asia McLean Chapman, where, like, you're going to see a bit of her in this episode too. But if you want Asia's full story, that's over on our Patreon feed. Plus, our entire episode coverage of Serial Season 1.
Yeah, which is this whole case, in case you're just joining us here at True Crime Obsessed.
Anyway, we're not just trying to sell the Patreon, we're just letting you know where you can get more information if you want it.
Yeah, and if you want to hear from Rabia and Asia, who doesn't?
I got a bunch of words for you.
What?
Julian Pensavalle!
Patrick Hines! Ba-da-da.
Do you like how I couldn't count to two?
I was like, what is happening here? I didn't know where that was going, and then you just started singing, and I was like, oh, here we are.
You guys, not to go crazy, but we're in like a real recording studio.
We have headphones on. We have microphones that are all connected. Like, they're not handheld. We're in a beautiful studio thanks to Audio Boom.
Audio Boom. We love you so much. Thanks for having us.
My knees are not touching Patrick's knees, which
it's
is
so
weird.
Weird.
I have to get used to it.
You feel really far away from me.
I know, we're reaching out. We can't touch each other. But we'll just gaze into each other's eyes and scream.
Yeah. You guys, rather than boring you with all of the live events that we're doing over the next couple of months, I'm going to direct you to our CS Live page. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at PodX in Nashville. We're going to be at CrimeCon in New Orleans. Go to truecrimeobsessed.com, click on CS Live, get all the info there. We've got discounts and deals. Come see us and hang out.
Yeah.
Also, you guys, come to our Pride show in June. I got to say, the tickets are really starting to sell.
So good.
Yeah, if you guys are thinking about coming, please get your tickets and come.
It's going to be one hell of a party. Serious, don't. That is no laughing matter.
It just looked like you workshopped that out of town or something. It just, you looked real confident. I'm just saying, you looked really confident.
It's going to be a party. Of course, it's June in New York City. It's Pride. Of course, it's going to be a party.
The 50th anniversary of Stonewall.
Every night's a riot.
It's true. You guys, I'm going to be leading Pride tours around the village. It's going to be all cool, like old gay New Yorky stuff, old cool, not gay New Yorky stuff. I'm doing 4 tours the morning of the show.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
If you want to go, you got to get your tickets first, and then we're going to send everybody an email around the end of April, and we're going to figure out who wants to go. We're going to make it happen.
You're going to use a megaphone, right? Because I can't have that precious voice.
No.
Out of commish when we're on stage.
Not a chance.
Okay.
And lastly, you guys, get over to the Patreon. You heard about it in the pre-roll there. In addition to all that stuff, we've got The Staircase, Making a Murderer, The Jinx, episode by episode, all of our interviews with like fancy directors of some of the movies we've covered, including Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yes, and Tower.
Tower. Go get in on that stuff.
Also, Madonna's Truth or Dare.
And you guys, at the $10 level, you can get these regular episodes ad-free. How about that?
I mean, how about it? That one I clearly didn't workshop. Are you happy?
And then at the $20 level, you're getting a little bonus surprise from us every month and VIP meet and greet stuff down the road.
Yeah, I love how you're reassuring to people in the Facebook group. Like, it's nothing life-changing. It's just a little hello or something from us once a month.
I could not be more clear about it. Like, we're going to send you a little video or sometimes you're going to get something in the mail, but just sometimes.
Yeah, and no presh. If you don't want it, great.
We love you anyway.
It's all good all across the board, but we're not going to, like, show up to your house.
No.
We're going to send your postcard. I don't know.
What if it was like, hi guys.
Is the wine not chilled or?
They're like, Jillian, it's 5:42 in the morning.
Again. Is the wine
not
chilled?
I'm not going to ask you again.
Am I to understand that you don't have martini glasses in the freezer? Just in case? Yeah, no, can you imagine that's in the $20 level? We show up to your house and yell at you.
And drink all your booze and then at 5 a.m. and then we leave.
And then run away like thieves in the night.
Oh, girl, the case against Adnan Syed, episode 2.
In between the truth.
There's a lot going on in between there.
There's a lot. There's a lot of truth and a lot of non-truths, which is lies.
Listen, there's a lot of Jen Pusateri in this episode.
Jen Pusateri.
I'm scared for my life.
Jen Pusateri might be here. She's here, like, in the series, but is she here? Jen?
Does she live under your bed with Rachel from Jesus Camp and the Slender Man?
No, but I feel like if Jen saw, I would not want to get on her bad side in real life.
Uh-uh.
Jen's been through it.
You can tell it's not been easy for her.
Mm-mm.
Can we also say it's been a week and I'm still not over hashtag Debbie and Dawn?
What the hell was that all about? Spring break. What does anyone talk on the phone about for 7 hours?
I can't wait
to get off the phone.
I know.
Who is talking for seven? What 22-year-old
I know
who has a job at Lens Crafters is talking to a high school, the best friend of his girlfriend who's dead for seven hours?
You guys, Robbie has got lots of opinions. Oh my God. All right, should we get to it?
Yeah.
When you are working on a case that you think is a wrongful conviction, you're only on one side, and that side is getting to the truth.
The day she went missing was just a normal day to me.
It never hit me that something could be wrong until they found her body.
The suspect is Adnan Musad Syed.
그 아이를 죄를 주는 것밖에는 바라는 게 없습니다.
It felt like they gotta have the wrong guy. If he did what he did, then who's the person that I saw every day in class?
For years, I've been saying to Adnan, we should go to media, we should go to journalists, because they can do things we can't do.
But nobody realized it's going to turn into anything big.
Adnan Syed's story has captivated millions since the launch of the podcast Serial.
Serial is what brought new evidence to the case,
but Serial was not going to exonerate him.
Now, 18 years after he was sent to prison, convicted murderer Adnan Syed heads back to court as questions about his case continue to surface.
As investigators, we go beyond what law enforcement has already done.
Failure to investigate more thoroughly is a major mistake.
I never thought about him over all these years.
This was a person that had a life. This is an interesting case, but it's people's lives.
I know there are things that don't look good for me.
I'm telling you, that's what happened.
How could anybody think that he's being straight about this?
That doesn't make him a killer.
Makes him an unusual person.
This is perhaps the critical piece to this case.
They were going to follow that wherever it took them.
This is a piece of evidence that nobody even realized existed.
I want you to look into my eyes and tell me of your innocence.
Girl, get us started. We got some on-screen tests right at the top. I know you love that.
I know, I do. I just love to be caught up.
Cut to the chase, Amy Berg. You know what I mean? Thank you for just telling us what's going on.
Amy Berg.
I know.
Is excellent.
Listen, I'm on my toes around you and Amy Berg. I am not messing around. I learned my lesson last week.
I love me some Amy Berg. But so January 3rd, 2016, Adnan has been granted an appeal due to evidence unearthed by Serial.
Right.
What else?
Ding, 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 ding.
This hearing is expected to last 3 days, and it's going to determine if Adnan's conviction was fair. And if he wins, he's going to be granted a new trial. This is a big ass deal.
Spoiler, guys, it wasn't fair, whether he's granted a new trial or not.
Exactly.
So Robbie is back. Hi, girl.
Robbie's with us this whole time, you guys. She doesn't leave our side.
And you've ever noticed that she's always drinking like the perfect looking cup of tea?
Yes.
That tea looks so, I'm like, all I want is biscotti and tea.
Yeah, and it looks like a chocolatey tea. It's not just like tea.
It's like pre-milked,
yes.
That tea. I know, it looks Robbie perfect. It's always like bubbling on the stove.
Biscotti girl after my own heart.
But Robbie is talking.
They are nervous but hopeful. I mean, I think we haven't had this much hope for success in a long time. It is kind of our also at the same time our last best shot.
I feel a sense of desperation to keep the story alive until we can get him home. And that's why I'm almost tweeting about it. I'm writing about it. I'm talking about it because I just want resolution.
Adnan's been rotting in jail for a long time, you guys.
Yeah.
Do you ever imagine like someday down the road Adnan's like listening to this? Hi, Adnan.
I hate when you say that people are rotting away in jail.
But it's true.
It's true. But
it's terrible in there.
It's a heartbreaking.
It's not like Adnan's been at the spa in jail this whole time, you guys.
He's been away. He's been up at the farm.
Right.
No.
No, he's been rotting in jail. Wait, hang on a second. You're allowed to love the death penalty for an episode, but I'm not allowed to say Adnan's rotting in jail?
Do not compare Adnan and Ted Bundy. How dare you? No, you're absolutely right. It's just a horrible, horrible image.
And I'm like, why are you trying to gloss over jail? You of all people.
I know.
I'm the one that's on fire in this episode. You guys get ready. Thiru Vignaraj is here. You guys.
This is just going to be. Remember when we had it just a constant stream? We don't like this person. Yeah, he's the state's prosecutor.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Do you know who hates Thiru Vignaraj?
Rabia
Chaudhry hates him so much.
Well, because he plays these dirty moves.
He does. But Thera is here reading a statement from the Lee family, from Hayes' family, saying that, like, they feel satisfied that they got the right guy the first time.
We believe justice was done when Adnan was convicted in 2000, and we look forward to bringing this chapter to an end. But we are grateful to all the people who are there to give Hay a voice. She is the true victim.
The hearing was open to the public, right?
Yes.
And no cameras were involved. And we learned that this bitch kicked Queen Rabia, of all people, out of the courtroom.
So what happened was the prosecutor said, well, before my opening, I have some preliminary matters. And then he turned and looked at me and turned around and said that we want to sequester witnesses. The prosecutor started reading off the names of Justin's witnesses. My name was on the list, like 6-7 people. And so Justin stood up and said, well, we're not going to be calling Ms. Chaudhry. And the prosecutor said, well, I reserve the right to call her, so I'm asking she be sequestered anyways.
She's like, he's not calling me. I'd be a hostile witness, number one.
Can you imagine? Not since Mr. S. Have you seen anybody more angry to be on the stand?
And I would love it. And she would change everything. And, like, the world would stop. And, like, right. It would be a whole thing. And he knows better.
I remember when this was happening, I was following Rabia on Twitter.
See her tweeting in Dunkin' Donuts.
It's true.
She's tweeting.
And she did this for, like, the whole time that the proceedings were happening. She, like, made Dunkin' Donuts her home base.
Tweet, 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 tweet. She's just sitting there in the Dunkin' Donuts. Like, don't you know who she is?
I think it was just kind of a move to demoralize Adnan's family, and Adnan having me removed from the courtroom might make the prosecutor feel better, but it's not going to help his case any. And so this is just a way to, I don't know, maybe get me back. I've been pretty harsh on the state in public, and I don't have any regrets. So
she's like, I've been harsh on him, I have no regrets. And I'm like, I'm obsessed.
Do you know what you just did? You sort of melded your Kathleen Zellner and Rabia Chaudhry impressions.
Oh, I can't. I'm getting, like, sweaty. I just love them both so much. I can't help it.
So now we get a little bit of, like, Rabia's story. We're at home with her adorable parents and Rabia. Her dad is so cute.
Again, with the tea and the biscotti.
I know.
She just wants him to not break the biscotti into the tea. She's very concerned.
But this is where I was reminded of the fact that this series is based on her book. You know what I mean? We're getting a lot of Rabia because Rabia wrote this book.
Right. And we learn some stuff about Rabia.
It's true.
That maybe people didn't know.
But yeah, like, Rabia was in a not great marriage. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the whole thing about her ex-husband filing a false claim against her.
I know. Garbage.
Garbage. And she lost her daughter for 90 days. Rabia, girl, next time I see you, I'm squeezing you so hard.
I know.
We also find out that very painful experience of having a false claim filed against her was really eye-opening to her, that the court could just be, like, hoodwinked.
For me to see how easy it was to manipulate the court simply by making a verbal allegation with no evidence, I was just shocked and stunned.
People can come and lie in court and get away with it.
Yeah, anybody can say anything about anyone.
But I think that this experience had ripple effects, and I think that's why she understands the Adnan case, is because she understands how, like, how bad it can be.
Absolutely.
In court. So we're back in court. This episode, you guys, in case this comes up with the editing of the audio, we're back and forth between, like, people giving modern day interviews and then them on the stand a lot.
Right, or the tape of Jay with the police.
Right,
back
exactly.
In 1999, so we're jumping around.
Yeah, so we're back in court in 99, and Jay Wilds is on the stand, and I just screamed, like, we have to hear his voice again.
Again, that stupid monotone lie. No. It's just like, lie, 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 bullshit, bullshit, lie,
lie, lie, lie, lie, lie, lie.
Also, all the hero bells for Rabia. Have I not done that yet? Okay. Just want to make sure we are on the same page.
For this record, could you please state your full name?
J.W. Wild.
How old are you, sir?
19.
Mr. Wilds. This office is currently investigating a homicide that occurred on the 13th of January involving Kay Lee.
Yeah.
What, if anything, can you tell me about that?
You know, Rabia says that Jay was the center of gravity in this case.
It all revolves around Jay. She has the best pull quotes.
I know. It's like she wrote a book on the subject.
Almost as if she did. Almost as if she is the center of gravity in the best way. Like, as much as Jay is, like, Rabia is at the heart, to the true heart and soul of this.
Yes.
For real.
Well said, girl.
Thanks. Inspired by Rabia.
And this is the point where we see the private investigators again.
Tyler and Luke.
Hi, guy. Hi, boys.
Hey, fellas.
They're so cute. They're such adorable private investigators.
They're so on it. Like, we were called to do a job. This is an important one, and we're going to do it. And we're going to take it seriously. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
We're seeing them because they're on the side of the road in Leakin Park where Mr. S pulled over to take a pee after drinking a 40-ounce.
Right.
And they have access to people in this. They get the original surveyor, the same surveyor who was called when Heyman Lee's body was found, to sort of, like, survey the scene.
Our goal today is to kind of
have you walk us through what happened.
I got a call from the police department, and they said, we need your services at Lincoln Park. It gave me the location, and we need you now.
And Phil, what was the purpose of the measurement of the distance? Why did they ask you to do that?
Just so when they have it on record, the location of the body in Lincoln Park.
So he takes us into the woods to show us how far back her body was found from the road.
Right.
And how hard it would have been to see her there.
Right.
So it jumps from Jay on the stand to the surveyor to now we're back at court. The interesting thing that happened here is that Adnan says he didn't fully know the state's theory of the case until that moment when Jay is testifying about like how and when Adnan killed Hay.
Right.
And it's so crazy because at the end of his testimony, Jay gets up and walks away and just like walks right past Adnan.
I know.
And you can see the look on Adnan's face. You can see it. He's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, bitch, what?
I know. Like, he's not even mad. He's just like, where? What?
Right. It must be a truly surreal situation to be like, so that kid I kind of knew and smoked weed with sometimes
right.
just said all of this stuff, and there's no way I could go to prison for it because I didn't do it.
100%.
But all of this, like, wait, what? Just over and you're having an I'm sorry, what off with yourself. Right. It's horrible. It must be horrible. So Adnan's arrested.
Yeah, we're back to the morning of Adnan being arrested.
At like 6 in the morning.
Yep.
They rap with Jay.
Right.
Series rap on Jay Wilde for the bullshit questioning at like 2:30 in the morning. And by 6 a.m., they're at Adnan's house.
And we'll get back because we haven't seen Jay's questioning yet.
Yeah.
That was a mind F for me too.
I know. I was like, they just went.
But this is where like we get Adnan's firsthand description of like what it was like to be like taken downtown
right.
and questioned by this Ritson McGillivary. And then he tells us the crazy moment of them like sliding the charging document over to him.
Yeah.
And it says murder in the first degree.
Once they gave me the charging document, I was like, holy crap, man. That's when I said, hey, listen, you know, I want a lawyer. And they were like, you want a lawyer? You got a lawyer? I was like, I don't have a lawyer, but like, I want to speak to a lawyer.
And he smartly just says, lawyer.
Yeah. Speaking of lawyer, you guys, we meet this guy, Chris Floor.
Chris with the okay hair. Chris with the long hair that his wife hates.
I got admonished by my wife to make sure I brush my hair. Not a big fan of the long hair. Basically, nobody in my family is a big fan of the long hair, so...
As he's combing the hair, if I didn't do this, my wife told me that if I didn't do this, I would be in the doghouse for a week. He's combing his hair.
So we've now evolved from like, you guys, if the documentary crew's coming over, run a comb through your hair, mm-hmm. to now you have to remember that they're always filming.
They're always filming and the mic is always hot. Oh, Robert Durst.
Exactly. If you're brushing your balding hair on camera, Ken Kratz, they're going to catch it.
Yep.
And they're going to use it in the documentary.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yes. In the Charles Manson documentary, when we first meet our friend who ratted out Squeaky, she's fixing her bangs
totally,
too.
Totally.
There's a lot of hair combing in documentaries.
They're
I've
not
learned.
On your side, you guys.
No,
they're out
not.
To make the most interesting documentary possible. He's the lawyer that the family hired to like handle the bail proceedings.
Right.
And he's got a story.
Yeah, so he shows up and he's like, I remember it was a cold, gloomy day. And I'm like, wasn't it all across the board?
I remember going to the police station. There was like an intercom kind of thing outside. And I said, you know, my name's Chris Floor. I'm here to represent Adnan Syed. I understand that you have him in custody. I'd like questioning to stop immediately. And he says, well, he hasn't asked for you. And I said, he doesn't know I exist. The family hired us. And I said, I'm representing him. He said, well, you know, according to the Supreme Court, we don't have to allow him access to you unless he asks for access to you.
But the thing is, like, Adnan did ask for a lawyer. You know what I mean? Like, Adnan tells us just a second ago he asked for a lawyer, and Ritson McGillivary were like, you have a lawyer?
Right, but not by name, so he couldn't be allowed in. And he's like, that's it. I never got to see him. No access, no nothing. I need to research this. This
Same.
Is bananas.
I know. We should have asked Rabia about
I know.
This.
Rabia, how? How?
I want to start a podcast called Rabia How.
Rabia,
you know she's got the answer to it all.
Yeah.
Rabia How?
Rabia, how does this new recording system work? Well... Rabia, how is Ken Kratz still a person? Well, Rabia, how do I smell like you?
This guy, Chris, brought his notes with him.
You know, looking back over my notes, standard question you learn to ask as a criminal defense attorney is, you know, does anybody know you by nickname or any other type of name? And to remember this kid sitting in front of me tell me that in the seventh grade, they used to call him Eggnog.
Eggnog.
He was called Eggnog.
In seventh grade.
It's kind of adorable, but kind of racist. Guys, just learn how to say Adnan. It's not that hard.
It's not a hard name.
It's
I'm
not.
Sorry.
And he's so cute.
And Chris the lawyer is like, he was called Eggnog. He's innocent. I can't pinpoint my, but it's like right in the same breath. He's like, I can't pinpoint it, but Eggnog did not do this.
When I meet him, I'm just calling him Eggnog.
Adnan?
Do you think that's going to be okay?
Rabia, how is that going to go over? She makes me giddy. It's weird. I have to stop it.
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings are sacred. I've got my game day routine. Coffee, jersey laid out, and my lucky playlist. But the real game changer? New morning Uncrustables sandwiches.
I've always loved Uncrustables sandwiches, and now I'm all about the new flavors with 12 grams of protein. Bright-Eyed Berry or Up an Apple. Bright-Eyed Berry's got that flashy, finessey vibe like your favorite slot receiver.
Up an Apple, tough and reliable, like a do-it-all tight end.
And players love them. Did you know teams crush over 80,000 Uncrustables sandwiches a year? They know what's good.
It's a snack that can go with you anywhere, from the couch to the tailgate or even in the locker room. Soft bread, yummy fillings, protein packed. Once it's part of your ritual, you don't skip it.
Easy enough for Gronk to grab straight from the freezer.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with the new morning Uncrustables sandwiches, packed with 12 grams of protein.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So we're flashing back to 99, and the news is interviewing the kids at Adnan's high school.
Right.
No one can believe that he did it because he didn't do it.
Right. And then some of them are like, do you hear this bullshit people are saying about how, like, it's a Muslim thing? That's
I know.
Stupid.
Like, I know.
Even the high school kids are like, garbage.
You guys, guess who's back?
Asia freaking McClain.
Hey, girl.
In all her glory. That
I know.
Dress.
I know.
She's in this red dress in a library.
I know.
Amy Berg.
I was thinking about how, I know, great idea.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about how, like, last episode you were saying, like, not a hair out of place.
Yeah.
And her diction, like, everything about Asia, she just sounds great. She sounds great. She looks great. She's a reliable witness, state of Maryland.
She is.
Anand and I weren't really close friends, but we had a ton of mutual friends. And so when someone gets arrested, you start to think of, what's the last time I saw this person? And then you start to think of, when's the last conversation that I had with them? And it popped into my head, like, oh, I remember that day I saw him in the library.
It's a very relatable thing because she's kind of like, we all kind of make it about ourselves, right?
Right.
We all kind of say, like, where am I in this?
Right.
Can I help or hurt? Or, you know, like, am I crucial?
How is this about me?
I'm
not saying that's what Asia was saying, but, like, that's, what, you know what I mean? You're absolutely right. How am I related to this?
Yeah, because you think, like, oh, was I just with a murderer? Or
right.
Can I help this person? Like, it's a heavy weight no matter what it is, whether they're innocent or guilty, you know?
But then she screeches on the brakes, like,
yeah.
Wait a second, like, I saw him in the library, like, and we talked about, hey.
About the breakup, and Adnan was like, yeah, she's seen some white dude now, whatever. I wish her the best. Honestly, like,
right.
Not flippant about it, but they weren't together. Like, so many media outlets at the time were just like, her boyfriend, or, you know, she just dumped him 2 days ago, and now she's dead. Like, no.
And Rabia talks about that in our new interview with her, where she's saying, like, even Adnan at trial was like, I was so tired of hearing the star-crossed Romeo and Juliet thing. It wasn't like that. So Asia tells us that, like, she'd referred back to her day planner. And then she has, like, the crazy light bulb moment.
I do remember looking at a day planner that I had, and it just slowly kind of creeped up on me that the last time I saw this guy was at the library. That was before we had the 2 days off of school. And that was when they're saying she went missing. And then it was just kind of like light bulb moment. I might have been the last person to see him, and we talked about her.
And, like, she didn't really trust the police. Like, her boyfriend at the time had to say, if you have this information, you should tell somebody. And then we learn what it's like being in Baltimore City with the cops, and especially during those years. Like, she was like, we were pulled over. And I was harassed.
Yeah, like, being a person of color.
Yeah, like, they didn't trust the police at all.
Right.
And she's like, so why would I even insert myself in this thing, like, as a teenager?
100%. And of course, you know, for years and years down the road, people are going to accuse Asia of, like, trying to insert herself into something.
I know.
And she's like, no, bitch, it was against my best interest to get involved, but right. I did it anyway.
Right.
Can we get a hero bell for Asia?
You got it.
The hero bell is so far away from me now, I can't just, like, reach in front of you and
I
get
know,
it.
She's all mine.
So Asia goes over to Adnan's house, right? And she, like, knocks on the door, and she's like, there's a million people there. And she goes in, and she's trying to explain to the family, like, I saw him. Like, here's the day that I saw him.
Right.
And we have to remember that nobody knew the state's timeline. Nobody knew that this, like, 2:30, whatever time she saw him, was going to be a crucial moment in the state's timeline. So Adnan's family's not taking her that seriously. They're like, thank you for coming, sweetheart, but it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So Asia, so smart, like, she's just so smart in this moment, decides to go home. She's like, just in case this is important, I'm going to write this down. And yeah. She writes Adnan a letter and sends it to him.
Dear Anon, I hope I spelled it right. I'm not sure if you remember talking to me in the library on January 13th, but I remember chatting with you. Depending on the amount of time you spent in the library that afternoon, it might help your defense. I'm trying to reach out to your lawyer to schedule a possible meeting between the three of us.
And this becomes crucial. She says, I'm trying to reach out to your lawyer to arrange a meeting between the three of us. And that's vital because Christina Gutierrez will eventually be accused of ineffective assistance of counsel for not reaching out to Asia. And Asia was trying to reach out to her.
Right. And then lying to Adnan saying she did reach out and she checked out Asia and Asia was a worthless witness.
Exactly.
Which is not true. So the next big thing we're covering, and this stays with us.
Yeah.
The cell phone records.
Okay, so this is huge. So we've got McGillivray on the stand. We're back at the trial.
He's a garbage cop.
One of the two garbage cops.
Right.
And he had subpoenaed Adnan's phone records. And mm-hmm. This is how they're going to tie everything together.
Right.
And the thing that is so crazy about this is that Adnan, if you remember in Serial, Dana Chivas has this whole list of things where she says, like, if Adnan didn't do it, he has to be the unluckiest person in the world.
Right.
And one of the things she points to is that he, like, got this cell phone 2 days before all of this shit went down.
Yeah, and he explains not many people, you guys, I know it's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But in 1999, not everyone had a cell phone.
Most people didn't. I didn't have a cell phone in 99.
I think I was the only person of, like, my group of friends or whatever that had a cell phone. It was, like, a pretty cool thing. I like to show it off. If someone wants to use a show, go ahead. You can use my cell phone, you know?
He was bragging about it. Oh, I have a phone. And so people were just like, it was kind of like the shared phone
right.
of their friends.
And what's so crazy, this cell phone, it's, like, iconic if you're, like, a serial nut like me. You see a picture of it.
I know.
You see the cell phone.
There she is, girls. There she is.
It's so crazy. So McGillivray says the way they were able to track Adnan's movements and track the people that he talked to and in what order was through these cell phone records.
Right.
Imagine if he hadn't had the cell phone.
Right.
One of the subscribers lived in the Woodlawn area, so I responded to that location. I got out of my car and started to walk towards the residence, and a young lady, she was in the car out front, had rolled down her window. She inquired as to why I was going to her home. She identified herself as Jennifer Pusateri.
All right, you guys, it's time.
You guys,
oh, God, it's time. Woo. Everyone have a cocktail. Everybody sit down. Jen Pusateri is in the house.
Jennifer?
I know.
Pusateri.
Listen, if you don't remember who Jen Pusateri is, she is Jay's, like, very good friend.
They were inseparable potheads, her words.
And she's the one, in her telling, who picks up Jay, like, right after they bury Hay at Leakin Park. That's who she is. That's her significance. We're going to get more into her in just a second.
Yeah.
I just want to say she looks and sounds crazy, but I do, like, I have complicated feelings for her.
She's been through it, let me tell you.
Yeah, like, life has not been easy to her,
no.
You can tell.
No.
And also, I think she feels like she's been lied to by Jay and by the system.
Yeah, she says a lot that she does not want to be dragged into this.
I guess at first, you know, like, I ran from it. You know, I didn't really want to face it. Didn't really was hoping I could just do anything to make it go away. Now here it is. It's like, you kind of got to relive it all over again.
But I think there has been a tiny voice inside her for several years now saying that was a lie. Well, everything you were told is a lie.
If you remember Serial, Sarah tracks Jen down to her job. Yeah, guys, I can't believe how much I remember about Serial.
I kind of can't either. I'm like, I covered this with you. Didn't I know. That was me. Okay, just want to make sure.
Sarah tracks Jen down to her job, and I can't remember if Jen agreed to be on tape for a second or not. I think not.
I don't think she did.
No, but Sarah said she was very nice and just declined. We only heard Jen's voice in Serial from her police interviews.
Right, which we hear again.
Which we're going to get to.
We learn a little bit more about Jay. Even Jen, his best friend, Inseparable, she was just like, he was a good storyteller and he would make you believe the bullshit he was spewing because he believed it himself.
He was a good storyteller. He would make you believe his shirt was green if it was blue.
What she's saying is he was a liar. He was like a pathological liar.
Which we know.
Yeah.
If you've listened to 0.4 seconds of Serial, you know that Jay's a liar.
Right. And then we get Adnan's take on Jay. And we learn how Adnan and Jay even knew each other.
Me and Jay, we would have met like when we were in middle school. We used to kind of just like ride bikes together. We would do like little tricks on him and stuff. We would smoke weed together. But then for a period of time, we may not see each other. So that was kind of like my relationship with him throughout most of high school.
And the only reason they hung out in high school at all was because Adnan was really good friends with Jay's girlfriend, Stephanie.
Right. So Adnan and Stephanie were in the magnet program. Jay was most certainly not in the magnet program. And so that's why he was kind of just like around that crew. He wasn't in it.
Right.
But he was always around because of Stephanie.
He was accepted only because of Stephanie.
And he had this whole thing like, does she accept me? Like, she has so many more plans for her life and I'm just some pothead. That's how he felt.
And Jen Pusateri, she says it with like some regret in her eyes.
Stephanie was like Jay's prized possession. He wanted to make her accept him because she was in the magnet program. And she, of course, had bigger aspirations and dreams than a pothead.
Okay, let's let Stephanie live her life. Stephanie, call us. We have lots of questions.
You guys, we talked to Robbie about this. Like, Stephanie is nowhere in this documentary. Robbie says that, like, Stephanie just doesn't want to talk about this at all. I am dying to talk to hashtag where is Stephanie.
Where is Stephanie? Did you happen to see what she wrote in Adnan's yearbook?
I did. Because Adnan alludes.
All of these kids are 17 going on 40.
It's true. They're in the magnet program. We get it. You're the smart hot kids.
Fine.
Right. Stephanie writes in his yearbook, like, you know, we always hung out. It was great. Who knows what would have been? We'll never know.
We'll never know. They dated in eighth grade for 2 weeks.
And it's also like, Stephanie, girl, you were on all the sports teams. You were in the magnet program. You were so smart. What did you see in Jay? I don't get it.
She's there. We'll get to this later, but she's like in the courtroom with Jay.
Yeah.
Like on Jay's side of the courtroom.
We actually see her animated because we see her in pictures, but we don't see her move except for this one shot.
And it's a blurry, like grainy 1999. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I was like, that's Stephanie!
She has a lot of answers, and she's nowhere.
I know.
Girl.
Call us.
Sometimes this works. I know. If we say on the podcast, girl, call us.
It's true.
Sometimes it works. Girl, call us.
So we're back in court in 1999. Jen Pusateri is called to the stand. Apparently the judge feels like she has to tell her how to get to the stand. She gives her like very clear directions. No, over here, girl.
Over here.
Yeah.
Come on. Also, like, Jen didn't know Hay or Adnan. Her only connection was Jay.
Yeah.
She didn't know them.
I know.
And she's a state's wit. Like, it's crazy.
I know. Jen is out of school, by the way. We should say that Jen is a year older than Adnan and Hay and all those kids.
Which is why she didn't know them.
Yeah, she's in college.
Yeah.
And we'll get to her, like, sorority sister in a minute. So Jen gives us her version of events of what happened on January 13th, which was the day that Hay went missing and is also, like, in Jay's telling, the night that Jay and Adnan buried Hay in Leakin Park.
Even saying it out loud is ridiculous.
I know.
When did you first see Jay that day?
When he came to my house after I got off work. All I remember is him being at my house playing video games like we normally would. My brother was there too, the three of us.
He just said he was waiting for a phone call. He had a cell phone with him.
Is that normal?
No, Jay doesn't have a cell phone.
Did you know whose cell phone it was?
No.
I remember the phone call. I remember him leaving.
Do you remember when that was?
Between 3:30, 3:45.
Then next thing I remember is calling. I remember that we were supposed to hook back up.
At some point, they were going to get back together that night. They were going to hang out again. At some point, she gets a confusing page. That was a thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm just going to call that cell phone number that I have on my caller ID that I know Jay has that cell phone. She calls it and gets this, like, person who we find out later is Adnan. And Adnan says to her, like, Jay's busy. He'll call you when he needs you to pick him up. Eventually, Jay does call Jen, and he's like, come and get me. Now, this is where Jen and Jay's stories sort of separate here.
Right, and Rabia arrives again. I'm like, oh, I missed you so much. And she tells us.
In Jen's version of events, she picked up Jay when he was with Adnan from the parking lot of a local mall.
But Jay always says that Adnan dropped him off at home, and then Jen picked him up from the house. I don't know really why Jay said that he went to the house. I'm not sure what he's trying to avoid there. There's a reason. I just don't know what it is.
This is a pretty big lie here, and we don't know why Jay lied, but he lied.
And Jen, even to this day, is like, no, dude, I picked him up in the mall.
Yeah, at Value City.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So in Jen's telling of the story, which is like the story that we're following right now, Jay gets into Jen's car.
Right, and immediately is like, girl, I've had a night. And just out of nowhere, just like word vomits on her, like, that kid, Anna, just killed his girlfriend, strangled Heyman Lee. And I'm not going to the cops about it. Here's why. Right. I don't have any other information other than I know that he strangled her. Oh, also, gotta do a thing about some shovels.
Yeah, could you throw this car in reverse for 5 seconds so we can get over to that dumpster so I can wipe down the shovels that I lent Adnan
to bury Heyman Lee?
But I have no information, so I'm definitely not going to the cops.
Okay. Then we cut to trial.
Also, Jen's just like, cool. Are you hungry? Like, do you feel like food?
Like, dude, I'm so stoned right now. So now we get some stuff in the trial, and we're back with Ms. Christina Gutierrez questioning Jen on the stand.
Oh my God. Jen doesn't like Christina, it doesn't seem like.
Did you see Jay wipe the shovels? No. Did you see Jay throw out the shovels? No. And then it's just, did you see shovels? No. So, having some trouble with the shovel thing. Didn't mean to rhyme that, but at one point, I just love the ellipsis. Did you see shovels? Do you see the shovels here now?
I wish you guys could see Jillian's.
Did you see shovels? And that's how I have it written in my notes. D-I-D-J-A.
Did Jerule see shovels?
Did Jerule see shovels?
Did Jerule see the shovels?
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings are sacred. I've got my game day routine. Coffee, jersey laid out, and my lucky playlist. But the real game changer? New morning Uncrustables sandwiches.
I've always loved Uncrustables sandwiches, and now I'm all about the new flavors with 12 grams of protein, bright-eyed berry, or up an apple. Bright-eyed berry's got that flashy, finessey vibe, like your favorite slot receiver.
Up an apple, tough and reliable, like a do-it-all tight end.
And players love them. Did you know teams crush over 80,000 Uncrustables sandwiches a year? They know what's good.
It's a snack that can go with you anywhere, from the couch to the tailgate or even in the locker room. Soft bread, yummy fillings, protein packed. Once it's part of your ritual, you don't skip it.
Easy enough for Gronk to grab straight from the freezer.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here. With the new morning Uncrustables sandwiches, packed with 12 grams of protein.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And then it's like, all right, so Jen, all right, Jen, Jennifer, Jen girl, sweetheart, your best friend in the world, who you're probably in love with.
Yeah.
Let's get real.
We're not even getting into that, but there's definitely, there's a love situation happening
100%.
There.
Yeah. Gets in the car.
Yeah.
Tells you all of this horrible, horrible stuff. And you're just like, okay, cool. Like McDonald's or Burger King right. Or should we go to a movie or just smoke more weed? Like, what's up? You don't go to the cops.
I know.
And then present day Jen is just like, look.
At that point, weed was still like really illegal. You know what I mean? And we sold weed. It's not street code to go to the police.
with anything. I mean, I don't tell a lot of people, of course, that I was involved in this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the fact that I'm a state witness. I don't like the fact of that at all.
Yeah, she's not sorry. And then, I don't know, it's the one kind of moment of humanity she has where she's like, you know, Jay told me he didn't have any information. He didn't know where Hayes' body was. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it wasn't until 2 weeks before the trial that I found out that he did.
I guess it was about 2 weeks before the first trial when I found out that he had helped Adnan bury her body in the woods, and he really didn't know where the body was. And I feel like if we would have known that, or if I would have known that, we might have done something different. I don't know.
And I'm like, girl, it wasn't until, like, Serial came out that you even acknowledged that you knew anything. Like, dreams don't have deadlines, you guys.
Yeah, no. And I'm still in prison.
I know.
Speak up.
I know.
God.
Rotting in prison, Jillian. Rotting in prison.
So horrible. So Jen has a friend named Christy. They're sorority sisters.
Just the look
thick
on your face.
As thieves. You know they were stealing from everyone's parents' bar or stash.
Totally.
They were sneaking out at night. They were breaking curfew. They were the girls that your parents would be like, you're not hanging out with them. You'll know why when you're 30, but you're not hanging out with them ever.
I kind of like Christy, if I'm being honest.
Well, Christy, I have things about Christy.
I know. Stay tuned. Episode 3, it gets real with Christy, you guys.
Yeah, but at first they're kind of in the same, like, I can't believe we were involved in this. And Christy's conscience is a little louder than Jen's.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. But Christy's still a little, like, it's still surreal to her because she's like,
looking back on it, it feels very much like a movie to me. What we went through and how it played out. Surreal, like, you know, very Law and Order-esque, I guess.
And I'm like, or real life.
Right.
The cops questioned you because it's real life.
Because it really happened.
Because a real person is
murdered.
In jail.
Right.
And a real person, like, are you kidding me? Law and Order-esque, Christy. Come on.
Now, again, we're back to January 13th, and Christy is giving us her version of events from that day. Now, if you remember from Serial, this is the house, this is the person where Jay came over, and it was weird because Jay didn't really know this person. He knew her through Jen Pusateri, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Yeah.
And he brings Adnan. Adnan's acting very strange. We find out that he's super high.
I just remember being, like, a little odd. And Adnan not saying anything. Not hello, not hi, I'm Adnan, nothing.
She knows that it was about 6 o'clock, you guys, because Judge Judy was on.
Yeah, put a pin in that.
Yeah, we come back to that,
yeah.
Oh my God.
So she's like, no, of course, six, ding, ding, tick tock, Judge Judy o'clock. So she's already, like, weirded out and just annoyed by Adnan's presence. Like, who's this dude? Like, who's not saying hi to me? Like, what's going on?
Right.
And then he asks how to get rid of a high.
Right.
And Christy's like, who is this monster who doesn't want to be high anymore?
He just kind of out of nowhere is like, you know, how do you get rid of a high? And I remember being, like, kind of looking at Jay like, oh, who is this kid? You know, what kind of question is that?
So then, okay, you guys, sit, just everyone have a drink. Mm. Adnan gets a phone call.
Right.
We don't know who's on the other end of the phone call. But to Christy, it was very strange.
You know, when he said, you know, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to, you know, they're going to come talk to me.
They're going to, you know, what should I say? What should I do?
Did you understand what he was talking about?
No.
And not too long after that, he just kind of bolted out of my house.
Now, this was debunked in Serial,
right,
because Sarah Koenig said the implication here is that this person on the phone knows that Hay is dead and that Adnan murdered her.
Right.
So this is like a mystery third person.
Yeah.
This is not real.
Who never comes back and is never identified. It's ridiculous.
So if there is no mystery third person, then this call is completely innocent. And what we find out, I don't remember if it was Serial or somewhere else, was that, like, the cops were calling around looking for Hay. It was the day that she went missing.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, her family had called the cops.
Right.
And the cops were calling the friends, seeing if anybody knew her.
Right.
And Adnan's explanation for this call in one of the podcasts or one of the somethings is that he's like, yeah, I was stoned out of my mind and a cop was going to call me.
Of course.
I didn't want to, like, I'm going to have to talk to this cop. I'm going to have to say where I was. I'm going to have to tell them what I know.
And his parents.
Right, exactly.
And his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend's missing. Like, ugh.
You guys, take this story and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, seriously.
Christy, I like Christy, but throw this away.
Yeah. Also, just fun fact, Jay worked at a porn store that had quarter booths. You guys, a quarter booth is, for the children listening at home, you put in a quarter, you see a naked girl for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, like a live woman. Like, it's in every Madonna video.
Yeah. So Who's That Girl? It's the Open Your Heart video.
Exactly.
I always want to say it's Who's That Girl, but it's Open Your Heart. Who's That Girl was the animated one. Jillian, get it together. God.
Oh, this is why we were destined to make a podcast together.
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings are sacred. I've got my game day routine, coffee, jersey laid out, and my lucky playlist. But the real game changer? New morning Uncrustables sandwiches.
I've always loved Uncrustables sandwiches, and now I'm all about the new flavors with 12 grams of protein. Bright-eyed berry or up an apple. Bright-eyed berry's got that flashy, finessey vibe, like your favorite slot receiver.
Up an apple, tough and reliable, like a do-it-all tight end.
And players love them. Did you know teams crush over 80,000 Uncrustables sandwiches a year? They know what's good.
It's a snack that can go with you anywhere, from the couch to the tailgate or even in the locker room. Soft bread, yummy fillings, protein packed. Once it's part of your ritual, you don't skip it.
Easy enough for Gronk to grab straight from the freezer.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with the new morning Uncrustables sandwiches, packed with 12 grams of protein.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The reason we're talking about Jay working at a porn store is that Jen goes to visit him. Jen's like, hey, the cops are asking me a lot of questions. What's going on?
She doesn't even say what's going on. She's like, so now what do we do? Like, Jen wants to be involved in a caper with Jay.
So I go into a store and I remember telling him, like, yo, homicide came to my house. Now what? And I remember him saying, tell them what you need to tell them to stay out of trouble and tell them come see me.
She's like, what do I do now, boss? Like, she wants in on whatever the drama is.
Yes, totally. And he says, tell him to come see me. Like, he's John Gotti.
Right.
Give me a break. Oh, who's also garbage, by the way. I'm not glorifying any of that. I'm just saying. Like, what is he summoning? Like, oh, tell him to come see me.
Right.
Jay! Who do you think you are?
I know. You work at a porn store, Jay.
With quarter boots. No judgment. I'm just saying. Like, isn't it just cheaper to buy a video?
Right.
Or pay a sex worker? Yes. But every 30 seconds, you're pumping quarters into the booth?
It's like, also, like, less awkward. Oh,
yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
It just seems a little, like, it's not enough, no pun intended, bang for your buck. I'm just saying. Just seems like a waste of money to me.
So, you guys, we're back to the cell phone records. Again, McGillivray's on the stand. Now, this is a little rambling and confusing, so I'm just going to explain it.
Okay.
So, in the state's story, they went to Jen first. Christy was with Jen. Mm-hmm. And then Jen and Christy led the cops to Jay. That's how the cops found Jay, was through Jen and Christy, according to the cops. Robbie is like, not so fast, girl.
Yeah, no, she's like, they most certainly did not.
No, because the Saeed family had hired a private investigator who questioned Jay's boss at the porn store. They knew that Jay had missed work on at least two occasions prior to the first time the cops ever went to Jen and Jay.
Right.
So they found Jay, whether they knew him, whether who knows how the cops found Jay. But they had to have a paper trail of how they got to him, which is why they went to Jen.
They called in Jen. Jen was just a pawn in this whole thing.
100%.
And they're basically, Robbie's like,
to me, what the police were doing is very deliberate. They know this guy doesn't have a story. They are helping him craft the story. I don't know if it was a gut thing or they just wanted to close it, but they just said, this is our guy and we're going to figure out a way. They were creating evidence to get their conviction. That's what was happening.
So now we're hearing Jay in his interview. And we have to, like, we're going to go through this fast because I can't deal with this guy's voice.
Can't.
But, like, he
or the lies.
Or the lies. He is so clearly being fed a story by these cops.
Yeah.
The police knew that they found a red fiber on her body. And Jay said, oh, yeah, Adnan has these red wool gloves with, like, leather palms.
You know, you get out of your car when you get on Evanstown and have any conversations with Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me about that. We got out. Oh, and we walking around with gray gloves on.
Wolf gloves, or?
Yeah, they're like wool with leather palms. And
funny you should mention a red fiber, because actually the gloves were red.
Right. And like, what's happening here is that they have to establish premeditation. Mm-hmm. And in order to establish premeditation, they have to have Adnan telling Jay at some point that he was going to kill Hay. And this has stood out to me all the time. I've never been able to get past the language, like from Serial to everything else, I've never been able to get past the language that Jay uses to describe how Adnan told him that he was going to kill Hay.
Try and recall his exact words. I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill it.
He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill that bitch.
No, he didn't.
It just doesn't sound like my sweet baby Adnan.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
That's what somewhat like, all right, what's like the cruelest thing someone could say?
What's the most like stereotypical movie line somebody would say right before they're going to go
like
kill
someone? It's like a really, 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 really bad writer's first draft.
And that's exactly what Jay is.
Yeah.
This is Jay's first draft.
And Fitz and McGill, they're bad writers too.
100%. And as Robbie's like screaming from the rooftops, the story that Jay is telling them in this interview is not at all the story that we get at the trial.
Right, like at one point he's like, I didn't help dig a hole, but in court, I helped dig a hole. Like, it's as blatant as that.
Yeah.
So many times.
The thing that we hear from the cops, like modern day, is that, you know, Jay's story may have changed, Jay's story may have been a little shady, but Jay knew what he knew, and how did he know it if Jay didn't know it? And the big piece of evidence they have for that is Hay's car. He knew where Hay's car was.
This is chilling.
Subsequently, we recover the car. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know. We never knew where the car was. And then we talk to Jay and we know where the car is.
So Jay tells the story that after Adnan kills Hay and they bury her in Leakin Park, Jay meets him at like the I-70 park and ride,
right,
where Adnan has Hay's car, and they drive it to the, what they're calling a strip on Edmondson Avenue. If you remember in Serial, Sarah explains to us that a strip is like a place where you go to sell or buy drugs. It's like a bad part of a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like for those of you who watch The Wire, it's like where the row houses are.
Exactly. And so Jay, at the end of this interview, they like turn off the tape and Jay takes them to the car, mm-hmm, which is like the bum, bum, bum. How could Jay possibly have known where the car was?
And it's then more like womp, womp. It's not that noise. It's the opposite noise. It's like the
oh, remember the garbage minute?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Boop. Rabia just says,
I think Jay knew where the car was. The way he knew everything is that somebody told him.
And the thing is, immediately you realize that when they show the photo, like the evidence photo of like, here's Hay's car that Jay brought us to, the grass under her car looks so much different than the grass under the car next to hers.
Right. So here's the deal. This is really big evidence.
Yeah.
Because Rabia says, if that car was put there anytime after the 13th, Jay is lying and the whole thing falls apart.
Exactly.
So here we are. We're modern day, out exactly where Hay's car was. We're, mm-hmm, back with our private investigator pals.
Yeah. And Dr. Irvin, who is a turf physiologist, didn't know that was a thing, but now I'm obsessed with it.
I was thinking about you when I saw his lower third.
It's like, turf physiologist? Tell me more.
And one of the guys says, Dr. Irvin, I presume?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm here for it. I want to watch this nerding out forever.
Right.
There's such nerds about it, and I love it.
The funny thing is, this is from the preview, and like, this is like what the crime writers have been screaming about the whole time. Like, what are they doing? What are like, what kind of evidence are they collecting there?
Damn good evidence.
Yeah, so what they're trying to point out is that based on this photograph that we have of Hay's car, next to another car, the grass under Hay's car is like green and lush, uh-huh, and the grass under the car next to it is like dead, dead, dead.
And that means that the car next to her has been there for weeks because the grass isn't getting any sun or rain or anything. No. I was pacing at this point being like, the grass, it's all in the grass.
Is it possible to use an analysis of the grass to determine how long this car was parked there?
The best I could do is dig some of this out to actually take back to the university and grow under the January and February temperature conditions and the light conditions.
Underneath the trunk area of that Nissan Sentra, we can still see that there's green plant tissue. If my experiment, after 6 weeks, everything's gone brown, then I'd be pretty confident it wasn't parked there.
For 6 weeks.
Right.
in the preview, you see them digging at the car site. Yeah, and they're like, what are they looking for? Totally. It's kind of anticlimactic.
It's just grass. Yeah. They're just taking samples of the grass.
Are we not going to talk about Irene?
Oh, of course we are.
They realize that they're going to get all this great evidence, but they have to like prove that it's the same grass now as it was 20 years ago when her car was found.
Right. Not the same blades of grass, but the same types of grass. Like, it hasn't been reseeded or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So they're walking. They're like, is there a neighborhood association? Or is there somebody that, is there any way to find out if the grass has been reseeded?
Enter sweet, sweet Irene. I love her.
She's like, come on up to my porch.
Yeah.
She is not suspicious at all.
No.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. May we come in?
Sure.
Hi.
I'm
nice to meet you. Irene.
How long have you been here?
45 years.
Only 45 years.
Wow. Was there ever a time that you remember when they came by and they ripped up the grass and they put down new grass seed and straw and replanted the grass?
No.
So that was not.
No. She's lived there for 45 years and she's like, girls, I wish I could get someone to reseed this thing. No, no, no one has paid any attention to it. But she also says, we're kind of nosy neighbors. Right. If there was a car sitting there for 6 weeks, we'd be like,
right.
Ladies, come over. We have to have some tea and spill the tea. Whose car is that? What, where, who, why, when?
Yeah, and the private investigators also point out that on that lot, right where Hayes' car was, you guys, we're talking, this lot is like four cars. There's four cars in this lot. This is not like a parking lot.
Yeah.
There was so much police activity. Her car was put there on the 13th. Just in looking at the police records from like the 16th and the 17th, there was drug arrests. There was car towings, cars. The police were in that little space. They would have run that plate for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would absolutely have discovered the car if it was there.
Absolutely. So we meet this kid, Christopher Lee Baskerville.
Yeah.
Jay told the police that he told Chris everything. Ask me if the cops ever questioned Chris.
Did the cops ever question Chris?
Nope.
And Chris has a different story. We've heard this story elsewhere too.
Right.
Because, you know, Jen's story is that the trunk pop was in the Best Buy parking lot. If you're new to
Look at you with the cereal lingo
I was
still.
Just gonna say, if you're new to the lingo, trunk pop means where Adnan, quote, opened the trunk and showed Jay the body.
And like bragged about it, right. Which is ridiculous.
This kid Chris has a whole other story that Jay told him that Jay was at a pool hall.
Yeah, Jay was at the pool hall minding his own business.
Where Adnan just shows up, he's like, you gotta see this dead
Poor
body in my
sweet,
trunk.
Sweet innocent Jay just playing pool, whatever. But then we cut to Jen, and Jen's like, I'm sorry, what? I thought it was Best Buy. Right. And that's when you see the wheels of guilt start to turn. Like, wait a second.
Jay obviously picks and chooses what he wants to tell to. And at this point, it's created such a mess.
Jay is telling stories to everybody all over town.
And everyone knows that that's what Jay does. So this is the one you believe?
Right.
What is happening?
And Jen, for all these years, just thought like Jay had told her the truth. Like, he was her best friend. Why would he lie to her?
Right. So now, back in the day, we're back to Jen's story from what happened back then.
Right.
And she says that Jay told her, like, Adnan threatened Stephanie.
Yeah, so the idea is that, like, the reason Jay went along with this is because Adnan was like, if you don't help me bury this body, I'm going to do this to Stephanie.
Right,
because
it's like, wait, Jay, hold on a second. Why are you doing this? Why are you burying this body? Why? Because supposedly Adnan threatened Stephanie.
But then we find out that that's all bullshit too, because we're back to Krista, one of the kids in the magnet program. And Krista had a birthday party that Jay and Adnan and Stephanie all came to days after.
2 days.
2 days after Jay and Adnan had, quote, buried Hay in Leakin Park. Jay leaves and Adnan gives Stephanie a ride home. So Jay, who's saying the only reason he helped Adnan was because Adnan threatened Stephanie, is now leaving Stephanie alone with a murderer. Like, it just, none of it makes any
sense. 2 days later, and we see pictures from that birthday party.
Right.
They're all pretty chummy to me.
Right, exactly.
Give me a break.
I mean, it feels almost ridiculous to go through Jay's story because it's just so bogus.
It's so stupid.
We all know it's so bogus.
It's so stupid.
He's either going to be the person who went along with this murder, knew about it beforehand, didn't say anything about it, helped me bury her body or stood by while I did it, still hung out with me, let his girlfriend hang out with me, acted like nothing happened. Or he's going to be the guy who lied and played a major role in me being in prison for, at this point, over half my life now. Something that I didn't do.
And what's super frustrating is that, like, there's, you know, all of the stuff about the car, they said Adnan put Hayes' body in the trunk. They never tested the trunk for any forensic material.
Right.
The other big thing, they had taken DNA from Hay, and to test it against Jay and Adnan, they took DNA from Jay and Adnan, but they never tested it.
How do you take DNA evidence and then not test it?
I know. And then fingerprints. They don't find any of Jay's fingerprints anywhere in the car.
Right.
Which, obviously, he would have been in the car.
Of course.
And the one fingerprint they do find, they find on the back of the mirror. And
like someone's was adjusting it.
Right. And Rabia says, like, that was probably the last person to drive the car, who, if they didn't kill Hay, probably knows who did. It didn't match Jay, it didn't match Hay, and it didn't match Adnan, and they never looked at anybody else.
Don?
Like, that fingerprint, right?
Paging Don from LensCrafters. Paging Don from LensCrafters. You're wanted for murder. Please come to aisle 25 to life.
So you guys, we now meet this woman named Nakisha Horton. She's going to be with us in the next episode. So you guys, get acquainted with Nakisha.
Yeah.
She was a girlfriend of Jay's, and Jay was horrible to her, and Jay beat her.
You see the photos of it. They're horrible.
It's awful. And he would beat her in front of her own child. Mm-hmm. She basically has, like, escaped from Jay Wilde.
And another big thing, thanks to our private eyes.
Yeah.
Jay is now in California and has had a lot of charges in contact with the police.
So this is huge. And Robbie has been talking about this for a long time, too. If you look at the RPI guys, they list all, it's like 25 times that Jay's either been arrested or he's had, like, major run-ins with the cops where he spit on a cop, he body slammed a different cop, he's punched a cop.
Assault, guns, drugs, something that they can only describe as a melee. Right.
But no convictions.
Yeah.
So Jay does all this shit. He maybe gets arrested for a day, but none of this sticks to him.
Interesting.
And you guys, it's like, we're going to get to this eventually, but the theory here is that Jay has a deal. Mm-hmm. He's got a deal with the prosecutors.
Of course he does.
Yeah. And that's crazy. So this woman, Nakisha, the episode ends with her sitting on the stairs. And now she says this thing about, like, she didn't know anything about this. Like, she sort of vaguely knew that Jay had a friend whose girlfriend was murdered, but he never really got into it. Then Serial comes out. She becomes aware of, like, Jay's significance to the case.
Right.
And now these film producers have her, like, in a stairwell.
Yeah.
And she's like, boop, 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 boop. She calls Jay Wilde.
Yeah, and it ends on, like, bring.
Hello? Hey.
Credits. Damn it, Amy Berg and Rabia. It's so good.
Yeah. You got a spoiler. He answers. It's on the next episode.
Don't tell anybody, but he answers. Just between us girls, he answers. Don't say a word about it, you guys. I'm watching.
You guys, are you friends with her or are you not? I'm just saying, I'm loving doing this series so much.
Too.
Episode 3 gets crazy,
I mean,
you guys.
Crazy.
Crazy.
I've watched it 3 times already.
If you want more info, more details, over on our Patreon, we've got a brand new interview with Rabia Chaudhry. We've got our interview with Asia McClain, where she tells her whole story, and our entire episode-by-episode coverage of Serial.
Yeah.
In addition to everything else, you know what's on the Patreon.
You know what's up, you guys.
You can also get ad-free versions of these episodes, our regular episodes.
Right, starting with the Ted Bundy tapes.
Yep,
going forward.
You guys, come see us live in June for our Pride show. I cannot tell you enough what a special, special show that's going to be.
I know, that's going to be big.
Yeah. For everything else we're doing, go to our See Us Live page. We're going to be at PodX in May. We're going to be at CrimeCon in June. If you're coming, you can get discounted tickets. Just go to our website. All the information is there.
Yeah, it's all laid out for you.
And you guys, just in case it wasn't clear, next week, episode 3 of the Case Against Adnan Syed.
Episode 3. I'm telling you, when I say, like, brace yourselves,
I know.
Truly.
I know. I know. I know. I know.
It's going to blow your mind.
Even Rabia texted me and she was like, I cannot. There's something Rabia didn't know.
I know.
Girl, where can they find us?
At True Crime Obsess on Twitter, True Crime Obsessed Podcast on Instagram, and TrueCrimeObsessed.com for all of your True Crime Obsessed needs.
Promo codes, see us live.
Merch.
Episodes. It's all there.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, girl?
At Jillian with a G, just all across the board.
I'm at Patrick Hines on the Twitter, at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram. I don't know what we're doing for the palate cleanser yet.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there. We love you guys.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
I know. We'll get there.
Yeah.
That was my Sarah.
I know. Oh, it's been a minute.
I know. I thought so too. We'll get there.
It's true.
Sometimes it works. Girl, call us. I'm going to try it for the remainder of the Making Murderer 2 episodes. And that leans on there.
She followed me on Twitter yesterday.
Excuse me, where is the bell?
Here she is, boys.
Here she is, world. Here's the bell.
You're so far away from me, I had to throw the bell to you.
Yeah, I hope you keep all that audio in. Just like, what a throw it was, air quotes, by the way. Sweetheart.
Did we not discuss last week that I did not do great at Boy Scout camp?
You are a drug. You are a poison pill. I've got to kick this habit now, or else I never will. I loved the rush when you would hold me close, but you will not be satisfied until I overdose. This is it, hit the brake, I am finally awake. Let me be, let me go. say a word. You speak and I cave in, and you'll twist the truth again and drill deep down beneath my skin. You said you'd change, and I believe in you, but you're still using me to justify. But hurting people, that's your choice, my friend. 'Cause I believe that love will win, and hate will earn you nothing in the end. This is the end.
But I love you.
Dude. This is it. I won't cry, starting.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.